Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadoel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about living in a bubble. Sometimes you live and behave in a certain way, you think in a certain way, and other people say that you're living in a bubble. We'll try to get out of this bubble on our way to a better life. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, we know the stories about the country people and the town people, the country mouse and the town mouse. The town people, they're more civilized, cultured. Usually they're economically better off. They live in the fast lane. They feel innovative. They lead all the trends in the country. And the country people, they're more simple. Their pace of life is slower, just like the town mouse and the country mouse. The one eats more sophisticated foods, living in the fast lane. The other eats more simple foods, and his pace of life is calmer. In our country, the town people, or the town is Tel Aviv, and this is something that exists all over the world. We have London and Moscow and Beijing. We know it from all countries that there's like this bubble that the people in the big cities live in. They like have a bubble of their own. We call it the state of Tel Aviv here in Israel. And I'd like to ask, how do you see this phenomenon of the people of the bubble of the big cities versus the people in the periphery or the rest of the country? Well, these are two parts that are very far away from one another. They're very different. To some extent, they hate each other. They're opposed to one another. They disregard each other. This is also what we see according to how they talk, according to how the media treats them and how they treat everyone. Talking about Tel Aviv, these two parts today in our country, maybe this is also how it is in other places, but it's a symbol or it shows the biggest polarization between people. If in the past it was about other things, today this is what it's about. They care less about what happens in other places in the country. They have a life of their own. It's a culture hub. This is where the music is. The Eurovision was held in Tel Aviv, not in Jerusalem. The world looks at what goes on in Tel Aviv. It's considered to be a cosmopolitical place. They feel very innovative, that they lead the trends and everything. People say that if something will happen in Tel Aviv, maybe things will move elsewhere. If things happen in some other place, so they happen. They're not enough influential people for it to make a difference. And we'd like to talk a bit about this polarization between the state of Tel Aviv, this is how it's called, the Tel Avivian bubble, and the rest of the parts of the country. What's your opinion? How do you see this? Well, to say the truth, I'm not really the address for this question, because I don't really belong to Tel Aviv or this country or any other country. I live my life. The center of my reality is the connection between people, which is a spiritual dimension. This is exactly the question. Is it possible to make a connection between people that are inside the bubble and those that are outside of the bubble? Because what we see is that the polarization, the rift between the two, is only going and growing. For some people, to go out of Tel Aviv is like to go abroad. This I know. Okay, so this isn't the question. This is how life is. And we see that it's only going and growing, the gap between Tel Aviv and what's not Tel Aviv. No, we're not representing any of the sides. We just want to understand about the connection. Can there be a connection between those in the bubble and those outside of the bubble? I think that unless we correct the general nature of man, his original ego, where he will relate to everyone like he does to himself, with love, with warmth, with a desire to come closer, to see his future and the future of others as something common. Without that, I don't think that it'll happen. It'll only go and grow. The gap will go and grow because our ego is growing all the time. Up until now, we talked about the Tel Avivian bubble or about bubbles in other capital cities around the world. Some say that Israel, too, as a country, lives in a bubble. So this is what I want to ask about. What does it really mean that Israelis live in a bubble? People say that. They don't feel reality for what it is. They don't. They feel what they shape for themselves. And not reality as it really is. They always think that the world treats them much more favorably than it really does. They're kind of childish in this respect. Besides that they think that the world treats them more favorably than it really does, what other characteristics does the Israeli bubble have? Pride. Pride. That I'm an Israeli, that I'm a Tel Avivian, that I'm special. It's something that exists in us because our ego is much greater than the ego of any other nation. And this is what they think. And why are you saying that we're in a bubble? It's incorrect. No one thinks that about us. Only we do. So the fact that we're in a bubble is kind of distortion. We don't see things for what they really are. We're inventing kind of movie that we live in. When we talk about the bubble, it has to do with disconnection. But we actually feel very connected to the world economically, politically, and all other aspects to the entire world. Why do we feel in a bubble? Because it's a kind of contradiction. On the one hand, we're very connected to everything that's going on, and on the other hand, by nature, according to our reshimot, meaning our genes, we're built a bit differently than the rest of the world. It's not condescending or anything, but it's a fact. We come from the Israeli society that was formed by Abraham in love another as yourself. And so what follows is that this kind of attitude toward life, toward the world, toward people, it's something that registered in us. It exists in me. And therefore, in this attitude toward people, I'm on the one hand maybe a bit more childish in my inclination toward connection. On the other hand, I have a stronger inclination to success. Can you explain a bit, both the childish inclination toward connection and also the one for success? A childish inclination for connection is something that we see throughout history, how Jews always gladly joined different societies, different movements, philosophies that talk about connection. First and foremost, what they felt there is that there's something special there, that you can gain from, you can succeed in. So they're drawn to these things. Yeah, there is such a thing. Among Jews, there are barely people that disregard connection. On the one hand. On the other hand, they have a special sense, and everyone sees that too. They have a special sense by which they feel, where can we gain, profit, succeed? And then usually they divide into two very clear parts. This is how it is in other nations too, but especially among Jews. Those that are inclined toward connection and those that are inclined to getting rich, to benefit at the expense of others, or it's always at the expense of others. Going back to the Israeli bubble, sometimes there's a feeling that we're really focused on ourselves, Israelis meaning. Why? We're egoists. It's a direct result of our increased ego. This causes us to generate this bubble. The fact that we're focused on ourselves, it builds this bubble. The bubble is that we don't really hear anyone else. We're building our theory, our method, and we live in it. And this is the reason for the creation of the Israeli bubble. Yeah. Are we disconnected only from the external world in this regard, being in the bubble, or are we also disconnected from ourselves to some extent? Also from ourselves and between us. Everyone has that. Everyone depicts the world as he does, and it's very hard to move someone from his opinion. If to look at Israel as a single unit, you're saying that we're also disconnected from some inner experience of ours? We barely look at Israel as a single society or experience, but only on condition that we really have a common problem. You're saying that everyone depicts the world as they do, and it's very hard to move them from their opinion. I think that this is very characteristic of Israelis. So not only that we're in a bubble, but every Israeli has a bubble of their own too? Of course. But all these bubbles somehow are connected. We can't live without these bubbles with each other. We really have a big problem of how to get rid of this. What has to happen? We have to blow up these egoistic bubbles. Blow up meaning what? That everyone should blow up their ego. How do you do that? And what is the ego? I want to be connected with others without my own bubble. That this is how I see, how I feel, how I think, how I plan. In short, I want to get rid of my sense of self. Why? Because it stands in my way of being connected with others, in the way of us connecting without any boundaries. And we have to? Of course. By that, we fulfill ourselves. What do you mean that by this we fulfill ourselves? Can we get something that we don't have today? Of course. As Israelis, to profit as our profession, what can we gain? We're very stupid in this profession, actually. Why? Because we don't see where the big profit is. Where is it? in our connection. What do you mean, how? It means that if we connect between us, in our connection, we reach a state where really gold falls on us from the sky. What is this, a fairy tale? No, this is reality. I don't understand. I want for gold to fall from the sky. I just really want to understand. Gold will really fall from the sky? Yeah? Why isn't it falling now? Because you're not connected. We're all in our own bubble. Yeah? So what is connection and what does it have to do with the gold? Connection, it means that you and the other are in one desire, connected, without feeling any separation. Suppose gold is falling from the sky, you feel that it belongs to both of you. Furthermore, you are willing to concede your part in order to give it to the other. When you were talking about this picture, what came to mind is, how do I make it so that the gold will fall directly into my safe, so it won't fall into someone else's yard or something? Maybe I should get a big fan or something. Okay, going back to the Israeli bubble. We say that Israelis live in a bubble, and you also said that we have this kind of perception that our country doesn't feel reality for what it really is. What does it have to do with blowing up the bubbles? About people, I understand. On the international level, Israel's in a bubble? Yes. What do we have to do? And when this bubble will blow up, will gold fall from the sky for everyone? We have to understand that all nations hate us. We have to convince ourselves that their hate toward us is serious. It's not a game, the way it seems to us that it's not that bad. We have to understand that they really want to destroy us. They really do. Listen to what they say. And believe them that this is what they think and feel and are planning. And if this will happen, this means that we come out of our bubble. If it'll happen, then God help us. No, I mean, not that it'll happen, but that we'll understand. You're saying that we're childish, that we do understand that they really hate us and want to destroy us. It's not a make-believe. Okay, I'm going to put it aside a moment because it sounds kind of paranoid. That's the problem. That you're saying that it's paranoia. But to walk around thinking this all day long, maybe this will actually give you the correct understanding of reality. But it doesn't feel so extreme like you put it. That's the problem. That you're building such a bubble that decreases your sense of danger. This is what the bubble is about, that we don't see the danger up ahead. Yeah? Suppose another nation in our situation would understand where they are. Another nation can't be in our situation, but they would understand. And you're saying that we're like covering it, that we can't see it. That's called being stubborn. A stubborn people. How do we come out of this bubble? By intentionally starting to relate more truthfully to the attitude that the entire world has towards you. So what, we should better arm ourselves or what? That's something else, and it won't help you, because this is something that we are doing. So what's missing? To educate the nation. Educate them to do what? To understand why are we hated and what do we have to do to invert that hate into love. Can we? Yes. How? By our attitude. Toward what? Toward our role. Which is what? to show ourselves and the rest of the world the method of correction. What is the method of correction? For the entire world to know what are they living for, what do they exist for. So we're going back to the Israeli pride, that we have this exalted role, that we have to show everyone that we know, because this is what started the bubble to begin with. No, in doing this, I see myself as a waiter. Does a waiter feel proud over others? No. Why not? He gives, he serves, he brings. Why doesn't he feel proud over others? He's only thinking about his tip. I wish we'd think about the tip. But that will feel that the nations of the world are dependent on us. And not out of pride, but out of love, to care for them out of our love. So what does it mean to come out of the bubble? Because I understood that to stop thinking only about ourselves. And what does it have to do with what we started out with, that we actually don't see reality for what it is, that the other nations only want to destroy us, and we live in a kind of bubble that we're making life prettier than it really is? Because there are several things that I don't understand the connection between them. On the one hand, I'm being attacked. On the other hand, I have to wait on those that attack me. I don't wanna. You have to. They're attacking you because it's like you yell at a waiter that's not doing his job. Where's the food? Yeah. You yell at him. But if he says, wait, lady, just a moment, I'm coming. Then you stop yelling and you say thank you, and then you give a tip. So what do we have to bring the world? We brought plenty of good things. The world didn't ask for it. They didn't order it from you. Why are we hated? Because every time you bring something else and not what they want. And therefore they hate you, hate us. What did they order? Just one thing. The end of correction. The best possible state for everyone. Which is what? They see that it's on your menu. But what is it, essentially? Where we're all connected? And the upper force will be revealed among, between us. This the gold that pours from the sky? Yes. So they ordered gold from the sky. I, the Israeli waiter, am not giving it to them because I'm not connecting people, which is the condition under which the gold starts pouring, so everyone's angry at me. Yeah? So to come out of the bubble means what? To bring the world connection, where in that connection, all the endless good will be revealed to everyone. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.